There, okay. My name's Ben. This is our children's moment. If we have anybody kindergarten through fifth grade that want to come forward and have a seat. All right. Right after this, we will be heading back to junior church in the back hall. We also have a thing for preschoolers as well as a nursery. If you want to utilize that, you're more than welcome to. I'm going to need your help, Sammy. You're up here, you're in the front row, you get used a lot, I apologize. A little bit. Come on up here. You can forgive me later, okay? Can you carry this for me, please? Thank you. Doing all right? Kind of? What's wrong? It's very heavy. Yeah, it's really heavy. Can you imagine having to go about your entire day carrying that? Would you be able to do that? Like everything you did, hanging out with friends, family, you were supposed to carry that everywhere you went. Would that be really hard? You're right? Yeah? It'd be really tough to do that all the time, wouldn't it? To carry something really heavy. Here, let's try it. Let's do something. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, that's what's doing it. My bad. Here, try carrying this. Yeah, there you go. Is that a little better? Yeah, we take out the giant landscaping stone here. See, you're pretty strong. You can pick up stones. Now you know, and he can help now around the house. You know, he can carry these around. Yeah, you had this in your bag. You think it'd be a lot easier to go about your day carrying that bag now with this taken out of it? Yeah, it'd be a lot easier. When you can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you very much. When we go through life, people are going to sin around us. They're going to sin against us. They're going to do things that hurt us, that cause problem. And every time they do, it's like they're adding stones to our bag. And when we try to go through life carrying all these stones, it is hard. If we try to hold on to these, it can even cause bitterness. And we start reacting. I mean, you carry this around, you're going to get real tired. I don't know about you, when I'm real tired, I get real cranky. So that bitterness, that stuff that we hold on to in our bags can cause us to be cranky with other people and cause us to not do well at life, right? When we think about forgiveness, I want us to think about, it's like taking out this burden that we've been carrying around this whole time. Forgiveness, when we let things go, we can set that burden down. Man, now it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. When people hurt us and they cause us pain, and they add these stones, forgiveness is about dropping that. Forgiveness is about letting that go. It's not as much about them. And it doesn't mean that we don't create boundaries. It doesn't mean that we don't still seek justice. It doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't still hurt that relationship. It just means that we let go of that pain. We let go of that burden. We let go of the things that control us because of those situations. Forgiveness is about setting down that burden. It's about letting it go. And when we think about that's what Christ provided for us. Because all of those sins that we did built up and up and up. And in order for God to forgive us, Jesus took all of those stones on that day. He took all those stones on the cross. All of our burdens, everything, all the sins that we ever committed against him, he bared all that weight on that cross that day. And that's why his heart broke. Why don't you be thinking about that as we head back to junior church.
Thank you, brother. Everybody here this morning.
you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. Philemon. However you want to pronounce it, okay? I would normally say good morning, but I think Don's already done that for us. Before we actually begin today, we're doing a series of lessons on the book of Philemon. We're looking at freedom through forgiveness. Today's lesson is going to be attributes of a forgiving person. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into the lesson, I want to have a special prayer for our brother Randy Sparks this morning. You received an email last night telling you that Randy was having some difficulties, was taken to the, was it to a hospital, Donna? He was taken to a hospital in where was it? In Brownsburg. I was taken to a hospital there. His heart rate was in the 30s. Was not doing well at all. They determined that his pacemaker was not working. And so he's been waiting all night long to get a bed opened up, a room opened up at St. Francis Hospital. And finally this morning, a room had opened up, and he is now either in transit or already there at St. Francis Hospital. And so I want us just to have a prayer for Randy. It's also good to have Pam here as well. Pam is Randy's sister. Pam lost her husband, Curtis, this week as well. So let's just bow with me in prayer, will you please? Our Father in heaven, we are so deeply, deeply grateful for you. We are grateful, dear Father, that you loved us enough to send your son Jesus to the cross for us. We should have been the one dying that day, but yet you let Jesus die in our place so we could have eternal life with you, be forgiven, and receive eternal life with you. Father, I want to lift up this morning, dear Father, my brother Randy. God, I'm thankful that he's now at the hospital at St. Francis, where they will be doing whatever it is that they need to do, dear Father, to get that pacemaker working properly, be able to help his heart function properly. Dear Father, we just pray, dear God, you'd be with him and bless him, dear Father. And my prayer is that you'd be with Lisa, who is there with him as well, Father, that you would just bless him and that they're going to get that regulated the way it's supposed to, dear Father, where he will feel better and be able to return home soon. But just watch over him. Be with our sister as well. Not only concerned about her brother and her father, but is bereaving the loss of her husband of 25 years. We lift her up to you and ask your blessings to please be upon her and strengthen her, dear God, please. Thank you, dear Father, for our family. Thank you for this church family, that we can just surround each other with love and encouragement and be there for each other, dear Father, whenever one of our brothers and sisters are hurt. For that, it's all because of your son. Okay, the book of Philemon. I want us to read verses 4 through 7. 4 through 7, so I want you to follow with me, Philemon verses 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul writes Philemon, and he says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of all the saints. We live in a society that knows little about forgiveness. In fact, we live in a society that cares little about forgiveness. I truly believe that one of the major contributors if not the major contributor to the destruction of relationships in our culture, is the absence of forgiveness. I mean, our culture pushes us to be unforgiving. It celebrates and exalts people who are not willing to forgive. Our culture makes heroes out of politicians who mercilessly bombast everyone who doesn't agree with them. It cheers on the mob mentality of those who hit the streets with signs promoting their views and spewing hateful catchphrases against those that we detest. Our culture laughs when policemen have water poured on them or have something thrown at them. It joins in when racial slurs and disgusting names are used to describe those who are different from ourselves. It goes along with the deceptive lies told about others because it promotes the world's agenda. That's what the world looks like. And as a result of the sinfulness, the wickedness, and the lack of any social restraint in our culture, we have a society that is filled with bitterness, filled with vengeance, filled with anger, filled with hate, filled with hostility toward others. In fact, just last night, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, there was a gunman there ready to shoot up the place. He had multiple guns with him. He shot one of the Secret Service guards, but thankfully he was wearing a bulletproof vest. And this happened just last night. The man has been now taken into custody. In fact, when we talk about a culture that is unwilling to forgive, even humanistic psychology tells us that it's not healthy to forgive. There is a book written by Dr. Susan Forward, who is a psychotherapist, whatever that is. And she titled this book, Toxic Parents. And it contains a chapter with the title, You Don't Have to Forgive. That's not what God says. I mean, God commands us to forgive. Amen? That's what God does. But yet, this book, You Don't Have to Forgive, is all about shifting the blame for your problems and the poor decisions that you make onto your parents. I mean, since it's their fault, you don't have to take responsibility for your life. Because it's all because of them. It's the way they raised me. Now, for a Christian, the refusal to forgive is unthinkable. I don't care what the issue is or what the offense is. A refusal to forgive is a blatant, open act of disobedience. In fact, when Paul wrote the Colossian church, the same church that meets in Philemon's home, he commended them in Colossians 3, verse 13. He said, I want you to bear with each other and forgive whatever, say that word with me, whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I mean, if there was one person who had a reason to be unforgiving, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, because of his faith in Christ and his bold teaching of God's word, he had people to ruthlessly attack him both physically and verbally from all sides, Jews, Gentiles, and even some so-called Christians. And yet he writes, forgive whatever grievances you may have against another. Well, this brings us to the letter that Paul wrote Philemon. Now, if you were here last week, you remember as you're in our study of Philemon, as we had the introduction to the study last week, we remember that Philemon was a Christian slave owner who lived in a small town of Colossae. He had a slave named Onesimus who apparently stole money from him and then ran away where he, it just so happens, you know, we know it's a God thing. My daughters, when they were younger, would call it quinkadink, okay? But it just so happens that he comes in contact with Paul, who is under house arrest. And Paul takes this opportunity to share with Onesimus, the former slave, the slave, the gospel, and he accepts Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes, church, it takes somebody outside of our immediate family to bring others to Christ. And that's exactly what God used Paul to do, that very thing. Now, Paul, realizing how important it is for Onesimus to reconcile with Philemon, urges him to return to his master's house in Colossae. And so Paul writes this personal letter to Philemon, which Onesimus is going to hand deliver. So Onesimus is going to hand deliver it to his master, saying to him that, you know, urging him to forgive Onesimus and accept him back home, not as a slave, but this time as a brother in Christ, verses 15 and 16. And Paul is confident. He's confident that Philemon will forgive and accept Onesimus because of two godly attributes that Paul sees in Philemon and is found in every forgiving person. Attribute number one. Philemon was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Now we read, and that's found in verse 5. We read in verse 19 that Paul was the one who brought Philemon to Christ. He was the one who taught him the gospel, you know, who brought him to Jesus. And we see that Philemon wasn't a Christian by name only. You know, we know people like that who are Christians by name only. But Philemon wasn't a Christian by name only. He was a man of God who faithfully served his Lord. In fact, Paul said, first of all, what he sees in him, that Paul described him as a fellow worker in verse 1. Describes him as a fellow worker. Have you ever been asked to write a character reference for somebody that you hardly knew? Have you? As a pastor, I get that quite often. In fact, I had two references, you know, I wrote just in the past couple of weeks. So I get that quite often. And as a preacher, when I'm asked to do that, if you ask me to ever write a character reference, I'm going to be truthful, okay? I'm going to be truthful. I see him at church about twice a year, and he seems friendly, you know? Yours truly, you know? I'm just going to be truthful. But Paul, this was more when he writes this letter about Philemon. Because Paul worked alongside Philemon in his ministry. He was a fellow worker. He knew him personally. He knew his character and what kind of man he was. And Paul had such an admiration for Philemon that he says in verse 4 that I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers. And so, first of all, he was a fellow worker. Secondly, Philemon had the church to meet in his home. Now, if you have ever hosted a small group in your home, I mean, you know how often it can be an inconvenience. Am I right about that? Am I right about that, Andrea? Yeah, okay. I mean, it can sometimes just be an inconvenience, you know, to get your house ready, you know, every Sunday evening or whatever it is that you're going to have the small group, you know, to get everybody there to make sure everything's in place and maybe even, you know, prepare a meal, whatever the things that you do in your small group. It can be an inconvenience. But there were no church buildings during this time. The Christians would gather at a central location, usually in one or more members' homes. Apparently, Philemon had a home large enough for the Colossian church to meet, and so they were meeting in his house. He knew how important it was for the church to gather regularly for worship and to study God's word and to fellowship with one another. And so here he was, opened up his home for this church. Now, do understand, as Paul writes this letter to Philemon, this is not a letter of reprimand. Paul is not reprimanding Philemon. In fact, it's a letter of commendation. There is nothing in Paul's letter that leads us to believe that Philemon will allow the hurt and humiliation that Onesimus has brought upon him and his family through his sinful behavior to hinder his willingness to forgive. And believe me, Paul had no difficulty in telling people like it is. He had no difficulty. And if he thought that he would, for one moment, that Philemon would absolutely refuse to forgive Onesimus, the apostle would have called him out on his disobedience. In fact, we have an example in the book of Galatians of Paul even confronting Peter face to face because of his disobedience. So if Paul thought that Onesimus was not going to forgive, that he was not going to be a forgiving brother, I mean, Paul would have said something in this letter just very specifically about that. But Philemon was able to forgive only because God had forgiven him through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the reason that we are able to forgive. Because we know that God has forgiven us of all the things that we have done against him and against others. Forgiving Onesimus and accepting him back as a brother, I'm sure that was not going to be an easy thing to do. I'm sure of it. I mean, just to take him back as a slave during this time and in this culture would even be scandalous, even if he was, you know, even if Philemon administered proper punishment toward Onesimus, it would still be a scandal. Because most slave owners, especially those who were non-Christians, would severely beat the runaway and then brand him as a fugitive before selling him off to a labor camp. That's what would happen. Others might even just have him killed. That's what they would do. But to forgive Onesimus and to welcome him into his home as a brother would go against all the social norms of the day. Philemon would probably find himself even on the outside amongst his peers. I mean, undoubtedly, slave owners would be concerned if Philemon will just accept him back as a brother. They'd be concerned about that because they think it might embolden their slave to do something similar. So what, you know, well, whatever good standing Philemon would have in the community would be damaged when he receives Onesimus back and forgives him as a brother. But through it all, Philemon's faith in Jesus will ultimately lead him to do the right thing. That's what Paul believes. He knows what it's like, Philemon does, knows what it's like to be hopelessly lost in sin and held in bondage by Satan, the prince of this world. He knows what that's like. He knows the sacrifice that Jesus made to redeem him, to purchase him with his precious blood that was shed upon the cross. He knows the price that Jesus paid for him. And now he too has an opportunity to demonstrate that character of God in a way that will be very costly to himself, in fact. But in the end, it's going to be worth it, whatever the cost. We have all been hurt by someone, haven't we? In fact, we have all hurt someone, haven't we? We've been on both sides. We misunderstand people. We second guess each other. We make the wrong assumption about one another. We gossip about one another and presume that we know the motives of one another. I mean, you may know of some Christian, maybe you know, one-time members of this church who no longer speak to one another because one or both were hurt by the other. They were hurt. And I personally know of some churches that split right down the middle because of hurt caused by people within that congregation. Hurt is inevitable even in the Lord's church. In fact, it's inevitable even among our own families, right? Hurt is inevitable. But why do you think the Bible talks so much about loving one another and forgiving one another? Because we are constantly hurting one another. That's the truth. That's the truth. And when the hurt comes, we need to be reminded, even as Paul is reminding Philemon, that we as followers of Jesus Christ need to look to the cross and remember what Jesus Christ has done for us, how he has forgiven us for all the things that we have done, not only to him, but to one another. But then a second attribute that we see here, that not only is Philemon a faithful child of God, but the second attribute is that Philemon was a man who loved all the saints. Verses 5 and 7. Reading through the book of Colossians, we get a glimpse into what the church that met in Philemon's home looked like. First of all, the Colossian church was made up of both Gentiles and Jews, with the majority of them being Gentiles. Paul writes, as he writes the Colossian church, in Colossians 3, verse 11, he says, Here within this church family, he says, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian. Barbarian, Scythians, they were the uncivilized gypsies, the nomads of the day. He says, there are neither slave nor free, but Christ in all, and Christ is all and in all. In other words, man, you're family. That's what you are, you're family. But secondly, it's also believed that since Paul addressed both masters and slaves, I mean, it's likely that slaves and slave owners worshiped together in Philemon's home. They worshiped together. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you will, please, real quickly. Colossians chapter 3. I want to read verses 22 to chapter 4, verse 1. And I want you to listen to Paul, how he addresses both slaves and slave owners in the church at Colossae, the church that meets in Philemon's home. Listen to what he says of Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 22. He said, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you, not only when they're watching or to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, slaves. Work for your master with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ Jesus you are serving. Anyone who does wrong, listen to what he says in verse 25, anyone who does wrong, speaking to the slaves, will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. But then he turns to the masters, the slave owners, and he says in chapter 4, verse 1, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you too are a slave. He says you too have a master in heaven. So when Paul commended Philemon for his love for all the saints, that would include the Christian slaves along with everyone else. That's who he's talking about. Philemon was not a hard-hearted, insensitive, unloving man, uncaring man. He wasn't that. I mean, he being a Gentile did not diminish the love that he had for his Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ. He being wealthy didn't cause him to look down on others and think himself better because he had it, he had the money and they didn't. He being a slave owner did not hinder him from treating the Christian slaves who worshipped in his home with equal respect and value that he extended to everyone else. Everyone else. I had the privilege back in the spring of 1991 to go into what was then known as Czechoslovakia. It's now the Republic of Slovakia, on a 10-week mission trip. We went there. It was a gospel mission. And we went there to establish the church and to bring people to Christ as was our purpose. That was our mission, and that's what we went there to do. During that time, when the church was established, people were brought to Christ. And also, the last 2 weeks of that mission trip, I was given the opportunity then to get on the train in Vienna, Austria, the Eurorail, and take the train all the way down to Rome, Italy, to spend time with my brother, who was stationed at Naples, Italy. And he was in the Air Force, but yet he was stationed on a naval base. And while I was there, I was asked to preach for the military congregation where my brother attended. And although there were high-ranking officers worshiping with sergeants, seamen, and airmen, you would have never guessed it. That they loved and fellowshiped one another as if there were no differences at all between them. And as I entered the assembly, the worship center, there was a sign above the door that read, "There are no ranks in the body of Christ, only family." And this is what Paul is saying about the church at Colossae that meets in Philemon's home. They are family. They're family. Jews, Gentiles, barbarians, Scythians, slave and free, slave owners and slaves are all one in Christ Jesus. Now Paul takes it even a step further as he writes Philemon by saying in verse 7 that Philemon refreshed the hearts of all the saints. He refreshed the hearts of all the saints. Now this paints such a beautiful picture of Philemon. Because the love that Philemon has for his fellow Christians, regardless of their background, their race, their social standing, has been refreshing to the church of Colossae that meets in his home. Now, the Greek word that Paul uses for refreshed is a military term that speaks of an army resting from a long, grueling march or a long battle. And apparently, members of the Colossian church who had been struggling, suffering, and hurting in one way or another were refreshed by Philemon's love and care for them. He brought rest and renewal to their hearts and souls. And Paul writes about how he has refreshed all the saints. Not just those who are like him, but all the saints. You know, when two people are enraged or engaged in conflict, it can sometimes feel like war. Have you ever been there? It can sometimes feel like war. However, when one encounters a forgiving Christian, it's like resting after a weary battle. It is utterly refreshing, and one is enabled to relax in the presence of such a person. According to Paul, Philemon was that person who refreshed all the saints. I began this lesson this morning by stating that we live in a society that knows and cares little about forgiveness. Last week, we saw an amazing video of then 18-year-old Brant Jean extending forgiveness to a Dallas police officer who just senselessly shot and killed his older brother, Botham. It was an incident that could have been stopped immediately, but the officer fired her gun instead. The officer was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 10 years in prison. In fact, she's still spending time, you know, serving her time in prison. At her sentencing, Brant told Officer Geiger that he forgave her, and then he gave her a hug. It's been now almost 7 years since that video was first aired. And it has been viewed all over the world by millions of views, millions. And for the most part, it has been well received, for the most part. Because forgiveness can be rather radical. In fact, forgiving others can even make people upset. Shortly after that video first aired, groups of people became extremely angry and offended by what Brant did. A pastor of a prominent black church in Washington, D.C., described Brant's act of forgiveness as a symptom of what he dubbed post-traumatic slavery syndrome. In other words, the forgiveness that Brant extended to the officer was a result of an emotional disorder. Others had said that it served to soothe white people's conscience. They added, white America has practically come to expect black people to forgive when violence is done to them. Too often the public acts as if black people are not entitled to express anger, even when there is ample reason to be upset. Now that certainly may be true at times, I have no doubt. But believe me, the Jean family, and I've done some research on them. Again, they are members of Church of Christ that I grew up in. They are members of that church. That is their fellowship. Brant is now attending or has graduated from Harding University, which is a Church of Christ university. And so I have done further research into this family, wanting to learn more about this family. And the Jean family were not only deeply upset and angered, but they had every reason to be furious with a police officer who took the life of their son and brother, Botham. Every reason. Because it was absolutely senseless. However, the dad, mom, and sister who you see here with Brant, who are all Christians, have said that they also admired their younger son and Brother Brandt for publicly forgiving the officer. But most certainly they believed that Officer Geiger should spend time in prison for negligently taking Botham's life. They believed that sentence was right. Now, if you remember in the video last week, Brandt said, "I don't even want you to go to jail." But he made the comment, but this, "I'm not speaking for my family. This is just my heart." The people who were upset and even enraged with Brandt Jean's act of forgiveness missed the point altogether. They missed it. It was not because Brandt was emotionally disturbed or because he is black and the police officer was a white female that he felt compelled to extend forgiveness, but only because he is a Christian who was following the very example of his Lord Jesus when he hung upon the cross and looked at the very people who put him there, said, "Say it with me, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." The question I want you to consider today is, are you having difficulty forgiving someone in your life? Are you having difficulty forgiving? Because the truth of the matter is, when we are hurt by others, I mean, it's not easy to forgive. It really isn't. It's not easy. In fact, there are times that we might even want ill will for somebody for a wrong that they've committed. We want some kind of revenge. Now, we just read from Colossians where Paul spoke of the slaves, and he says, and if you do your masters wrong, you are deserving to be punished. I don't know if when Onesimus returned to Philemon that he was punished or not. I have no idea. Next week we're going to be talking about Onesimus. We're going to be looking at marks or characteristics of a forgiven person next week. Okay, as we study about Onesimus. But no doubt there are times when people, it's just difficult to forgive. But I do believe that God gives us that strength. That God gives us that ability to forgive others. Are there still consequences? Yeah, there's still consequences. Even though Brandt forgave this officer, she's still spending her 10 years in prison. There are consequences when we do people wrong. It doesn't mean that you're not forgiven. We're going to be talking more about that next week. It doesn't mean you don't forgive. That's just part of it. There will be consequences. But yet, if you're having difficulty forgiving, will you let us pray with you today? Will you let us pray with you? I know it is a process. Brandt would even talk about how, as I began to read his story, he's attending Harding University. He's doing some ministry as well as has a secondary degree as well that he's working on. But in this, he talks about how people, process forgiveness differently. And he says, "I understand that. I understand that." In fact, he said it was a year and a half after his brother Botham was shot and killed by this officer that he says he was finally able to forgive. It took a year and a half. He says, "But when I heard her turn to my family and say, 'I am deeply, deeply sorry for killing your son, killing your brother,' he said, Spirit just came over me. I knew that I had to tell her for what you did." Difficult as it might have been. We're going to be singing this invitation song. During this invitation song, that opportunity to look at your heart, to look deep within your soul, to see if there are still those grudges and vengeance and things that you're still holding because of something that somebody has done you wrong. And even if they've come to you and said, I'm sorry, that's difficult sometimes to still forgive. But if I could pray with you today, I'd like to pray with you. If you're here today and you want to understand more about forgiveness, I'd be glad to sit down with you and talk to you about that. If you want to know more about what Jesus Christ has done for you and why he was able, even looking at the very people who hung him on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, I'd like to talk to you about that. So if we can pray with you, if we can help you, if I can just share with you more about what Christ has done for you, please give me that opportunity. Will you please come? Mr. Gatherly, stand up.